Bob Marley with No More Trouble is from his 1973 album, Catch a Fire. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we are in the midst of trouble, aren't we, in this land? Lots and lots of trouble. Well, the autopsy has been performed on Jeffrey Epstein. We will get to that on another day because, more information is being awaited. It's a very interesting kind of autopsy that the autopsy is performed, but the results are not to be released until more information is at hand. And that should happen soon, we hope. Lots of turmoil, as usual, in the immediate aftermath of these mass killings, for which much blame is being laid at the feet of Donald Trump. But you know, we are going in a very different direction today. Different, but related. And this is going to tax your weary brain, but I am confident that we will have the answers. You know, in the middle of all of this, people have been citing activists, critics, even people who are part of the Trump administration have been coining this term over and over again. You listen to the news, and much of the blame for these shootings, these mass killings that we've been talking about, have been attributed to. Much of the blame has been attributed to white supremacy. So we're going to talk about what is white supremacy. It's a term that's being bandied around, and people are speaking as if they know what it is, and better than that, that they know exactly what it is. And since I'm not so sure that we know exactly what it is, I thought we'd talk about white supremacy. What is it? How does it relate to our collective existence today? Where did it come from? What is it based on? How do we know that certain things, events, attitudes are the result of white supremacy? And simply because a person is white, does it mean that they have it? They practice it, this thing called white supremacy? How do we know? Where does it come from? What is its aim and objective, if we can put it that way? What is the purpose of white supremacy? How do we know that we are experiencing it? Because it seems as if it's a very broad definition. Although, in the way that people present it, and talk to us about it, it seems that there is a narrow version. And it seems that people are quite precise about what it is, and in some instances, they're not. Is white supremacy the same as racism? Is it different? How did it get into our lexicon? And how are we to understand it? So I thought I would ask you, the experts. If you're not expert, you're pretty close. I will rely on what you put forward. How do you define it? What is it? because it's been bandied around if you've been paying attention to the news. It's been a feature since these mass killings. It's talked about a lot, white supremacy. With regard to Donald Trump's first attempt at seeking the presidency, rose again as part of the lexicon, white supremacy. Are we sure we know what it is? Could you tell us? Could you give us an idea? When is it properly used? In what context is it properly used, properly understood? How is white supremacy different from any other kind of racial discrimination, for example? Is it just discrimination? Is it more than discrimination? What is the aim and objective of this thing we call white supremacy? Do we all understand it to be the same thing? All right. Those are enough guidelines for our discussion today. And we'll be talking about white supremacy in a number of contexts through the week. But I thought it was going to be very important for all of us to kind of zoom in on this part of our lexicon that has become more and more ingrained in our national discussions. And many things are being explained now to the nation in the context of this thing called white supremacy. So that's the task. What is it? And how do we know that we are experiencing it? From Chicago. Henry, you're on the air.
Hey, Trees, how's it going?
All right, how's about you?
I'm hanging in there, hanging in there.
Good, good, good.
Well, I'm going to, and please excuse me, I am an amateur sociologist in this context, but, you know, I look at white supremacy in a historical and more scientific way. I know people kind of classify, you know, white supremacy as, you know, white people hating black people, but I think it goes beyond that. And yes, I do interchange white supremacy with racism. And that's just me. But in the same context, you know, it's not about, you know, white people just hating black people. I mean, from my perspective, I know white people who have, you know, quote unquote black friends, and, you know, they don't utter the N-word or anything, but they're about as racist as, you know, your local neo-Nazi. So we have to look at it in a sense of the culture. It's a culture that allows white people to be, you know, on top, and also in some respects to subjugate and dominate those who are classified as non-white people. When I talk about non-white people, I talk about black, brown, yellow, and red people. So, you know, I look at it from that context in a more scientific way. It's not just about, you know, uttering, you know, the N-word. It's not just about lynchings. I mean, it's all part of it. But at the same time, there's a more subtle and hidden racism or white supremacy that permeates, you know, our culture. And I think too many times when they throw that word around white supremacy, they're just talking about, you know, the neo-Nazis and the Ku Klux Klan, and it goes far beyond that. It goes far beyond that. So when I think of white supremacy, I think of a group of people who classify themselves as white, who typically kind of subjugate and dominate, consciously and unconsciously, non-white people. That's kind of my, simple definition of it. That's kind of like my introduction to it.
What is on the flip side of white supremacy?
The flip side of white supremacy to me is a system of justice. When you get rid of white supremacy, you have basically a system of justice where no one is abused, no one is dominated, and those who need the most help get the most help.
Is there black supremacy, Latino supremacy, Asian supremacy?
No, because for one, there is no such thing as black supremacy in our modern society. I challenge anybody who can find black supremacy anywhere or Latino supremacy anywhere in this world. I mean, I haven't seen it.
Scratch the word supremacy as it relates to these groups. Substitute the word nationalism.
Well, nationalism is different because of the fact that it's more of an ideology. When you talk about nationalism, but supremacy, when you talk about supremacy in the context of white supremacy, we're talking about a current situation. And I know people get this mixed up where, they say, well, white people aren't supreme. It's not about them being the better humans. It's about them being in a more supreme position. Biologically, we all know that, white people or black people aren't biologically better than the other. But it's just in the fact that white people are in a more supreme position in our society than any other group of people.
All right, hold on. Don't hang up. I'm going to put you on with Ed from Queens.
Okay.
Ed, meet Henry from Chicago.
Hello, how you doing? How you doing, brother?
All right, how you doing?
All right. Basically, I've got a different take on this, and it comes from a historic standpoint. First of all, the term white is a specifically American term. It happened in the 1600s. For years, people identified themselves with the part of the world they came from, whether it be France, whether it be Europe, whether it be a country, even from Africa, there were different parts from Madagascar, from Ethiopia. You identified with your country, i.e. nationalism. In America, there was a situation where the settlers came here, eradicated the indigenous people, and brought slaves to do the work that they couldn't make the indigenous people do. They became a minority.
I understand where you're going, but for the moment, you're off topic. I want you to stick with the subject. We're talking about this phenomenon, this part of the lexicon that has entered our consciousness in the several recent years called, and certainly very recently, we've been hearing about white supremacy.
Yes.
Especially in the aftermath of these mass killings.
Yes.
Could you tell Henry what he's supposed to understand about this notion of white supremacy?
Well, first of all, you have to understand the concept of white is a construct that is specifically for the United States. I mean, because the idea of quote-unquote whiteness changes as the demographic and economics of different races change. Before a long time, Italians, Irish, they were considered mongrel people. They were considered mountain, for want of a better word, wilds. And as their socio and economic status changed, they became quote-unquote white. White is a construct. It's an economic construct used by the powers that be, who are usually in the minority, the wealthy, to endear other people to a concept of privilege that doesn't exist. And this is specifically...
Yeah, but you're still talking philosophically, Ed. You're still talking philosophically. let's talk about how it is understood currently in the language of the United States, the cultural language of the United States. Let's deal with it as it is.
Well, I mean, what, you get to go back to Malcolm X. What does it mean? White means something different. Young white, free white, 21. I mean, it gives in the United States, it's affiliated with power. It's affiliated with white privilege. You understand what I'm saying? Racism is the action of white supremacy. The guy that did all this killing, I qualify that with white supremacy. I qualify that with racism and the construct of white fear. Fear that the quote unquote white supremacy is on the way out as the blackening of the blackening of America takes place, or the browning of America takes place. But the concept of white supremacy, it's a designation for a class difference. That's the bottom line. I mean, whiteness is a concept that changes throughout history of this country, from being an original founding father to being an immigrant to being this. Whiteness is a concept that changes based on your socioeconomic status.
This concept that you're talking about, Ed, is very real, and it is backed up by very real consequences.
Yeah, well,
for people who don't understand it or accept it. Henry, ask Ed a question, because he has put us now into a kind of mix. He is arguing on the point that whiteness, separate and apart from how we set up the discussion today, we have to understand that whiteness, separate and apart from how it is defined by those who are said to be practicing white supremacy or who uphold white supremacy, whiteness is merely a construct. It's not real, but it was kind of invented in order to lay claim, and in some people's eyes, hopefully that would be permanent claim to dominance in our society. But with how does Ed's definition change what you just said?
I think Ed and I have we seem to have similar ideas, but I think the core of our definitions are a lot different. Like, for one, Ed described and correct me if I'm wrong, where I guess whiteness is more of an American thing, and I don't believe that, because I feel that white supremacy is a global problem. Racism just doesn't happen in the United States. Racism happens here all over the world as well, including countries in Africa. But, you know, it's a more deeper issue. I won't get into that. But also, too, in a sense, it is a construct. But I agree with you, Utrice. It is a very real construct. It is very real, because white people have all of the resources. They control the economy. They control the military. So, yes, that makes it real. Now, like I said, the philosophical issue of them being supreme beings, that is the imaginary line, because biologically nobody is really superior. But when you're talking about a group of people who have all the resources and all of the military to enforce white supremacy, that is a very real thing.
All right. Well, we have had a proper introduction to the subject by Henry of Chicago and Ed from Queens. Thank you both for getting us started today. Leona from Michigan is up next. Leona, what are we to understand by this term, white supremacy?
I think, greetings, Utrice. I think we need to understand the importance of having a definition for it, and I appreciate you for opening a space to define it. There are many different definitions, I gather, but the ones I have been paying closest attention to lately is that definition offered by Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, and a definition offered by Neely Fuller, and a definition offered by Ann Braden. Now, I don't know. Let me start with
question,
the definition.
The question is, I appreciate you citing these things.
Yeah.
What I'm hoping for us to appreciate even more today, mm-hmm, is at ground level, where you and I and others are, how does it translate for you? How do you understand it? What do you understand it to be?
Okay.
Okay, I've just been smacked. I get it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I understand really what, it to be.
See, because this is where mm-hmm we have to make a kind of bridge. We always, in our society, we are bombarded by terms and so forth, and we use them as well. But mm-hmm our interpretations and our understanding of them may not be the same. And in the end, we're looking to see how you experience a thing that you've read about or researched about. What have you come out of all of that with as an understanding of this term and how it translates in everyday life? What do we walk around and we use it, but what do we mean by it? What does society mean by it? And do we mean the same thing?
Right. Yeah. Those are real questions. Yeah.
Okay.
And I.
What do you understand it to be?
What do I understand white supremacy to be?
Yes.
I understand it to be a system, an entire system, not just willy-nilly, random things. It's a part of an entire system, I believe it to be, the system of white supremacy. And it's one that I was born into. It's one that my parents were born into, their parents, my offspring. And I've lived with it since day one. And again, I believe that Neely Fuller is correct, and Dr. Frances Cress Welsing is correct, and that thing about Ann Braden. You know, well, just for the record, though, white supremacy, and I'm going to quote this three quick things here. White supremacy, one, the direct or indirect subjugation of all non-white people by white people for the basic purpose of pleasing and or serving all white persons at all times, in all places, in all areas of activity. Two, the only functional racism in existence among the people of the known universe that is based on color and or non-color in the physical makeup or physical appearance of persons. And three, white supremacy is racism for the sake of racism. End of quote. That's from the work of Neely Fuller. One thing in my day-to-day living, I see it everywhere. You know, at first I wasn't as conscious of it, but the impact of this system of racism, white supremacy. One thing that I'm working on personally is getting rid of that white Jesus in my head. I think that's a form of white supremacy, too. That's a form of being colonized. If you look at it, I think, logically, and there's no way that this so-called image of Jesus could have been as white as he looks and as blue eyes as he looks. If he lived, and if he lived in that area of the world, that he had some color. And that's something I push back on. And other things I push back on.
Let me ask you to meet Ma'at from New York. Ma'at?
Yes.
Meet Leona from Michigan.
Ma'at?
To the family.
Thank
Hello?
You.
Hello? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you, Ma'at, what do you understand white supremacy to be?
Well, as several other points made, it's a system of dominance. And I think, is that Patricia with me?
No, Leona from Michigan.
Leona. Yes, I think she made an excellent point in terms of good definitions, because certainly Neely Fuller, you must reference him, because Dr. Crantis Fess-Welsen, she was inspired, and that was foundational to her researches and definition. I thought that Leona also made an excellent point about the Jesus, because recently I heard, about 6 months ago, a white guy, a so-called white guy, visited an African village, and a young girl, when she immediately saw him, she declared, "Jesus," you know, because of that image in her head around Christianity. So that really puts it in.
I want to get back to the heart of the matter. These are anecdotal things. I'm interested in what is your, based on all that you have read and personally experienced, what have you come to as an understanding of this thing, white supremacy? Does it exist? Why does it exist? Who is intended to be the target of white supremacy? For what purpose does it exist?
Well, it's Leona here. Again, I haven't found anything better than what Dr. Francis Cress-Welsing said about why it exists. It exists to prevent genetic annihilation for those folks classified as white, self-classified as white, by the way. This white supremacy thing is probably based on a system of royalism, too. You know, and but my understanding, my limited understanding, I haven't seen a better theory than what Dr. Francis Cress-Welsing offered as to the motive of why this thing exists. It exists to prevent genetic annihilation for those people classified as white. But the sad thing is, it's too bad. I think it's a serious pathology. And it would be great if those white people understood that most non-white people ain't trying to wipe them out. We just want to live in peace. You know, the planet has potentially enough for everybody, And in order for justice to exist on the planet, we will have to get rid of the system of racism, white supremacy. Remember back in the day, I'm sure you read about it, all those castrations that happened to black men in the process of lynchings and things like that. You don't hear about non-white people trying to cut off white people's reproductive parts. That focus on castrating the black man, that over-focus on his penis, some of that is, to my understanding, that subconscious will or drive annihilated genetically.
Point. We're not equipped today to discuss the psychoanalytical part of it. I'm just trying to
Yeah,
stop.
I'm not either, because I just studied the work of Dr. Francis.
So let's
Cress-Welsing.
Leave that for another day. Let's talk about the very start of our discussion. Just
yes,
what
ma'am.
Is it?
What is it?
What,
it's
what
a form of insanity
is,
straight out the gate. But go on. Forgive
all right.
me.
Ma'at, could you ask Leona a question that could get us close to the answer to that question? What is white supremacy?
Yeah, but it does go back to the raison d'etre, the foundation. So my question would be why these so-called white people, and David talked about that recently, because absolutely true is that we are all African descendants. All the genome project,
et cetera,
et cetera.
Taking us on another... Look, here's what
my question would be,
want us to do. Whenever we discuss a topic, don't take off on the tributaries. Just stay on the main road.
to Leona would be, what is the foundation of this illusion delusion? I think that's important. What is the foundation of it? What is it built on?
Ma'at, are you accepting as accurate and justified the term white supremacy? And if so, what is it to mean to all of us?
It means a lie. It means delusion. It means people are confused.
About what?
About the idea that they are white, that they are a separate race.
So let's hear you ask Leona a question.
My question is how do they get away with it when it's such a lie?
Well, I would say it has to do with being very good at deceit and violence, weapons and deceit. Deceit and a lot of death-producing weapons. That's part of the enforcement arm for this system, I believe.
I want to thank you too, you both of you, for bringing us a little closer along. You see how interesting this is. We've been having a conversation, and all we're trying to get to is what is the definition of this thing. We're not nearly close. And this is what is important for us to recognize. When, in the absence of a definition that we can define things when we experience them and when we see them, but when things are loosey-goosey, it leaves a lot of room for the defined thing to change shape, to change application. And so we don't quite know at any given time, is this white supremacy or something else? We've heard so far that white supremacy, which is what we are referring to, has in fact been defined. But how is it that we don't know what the definition is? Let's move on with Patricia of New York and David from Brooklyn.
Good afternoon, Eutrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family.
Thank you. And you're partnering with David today from Brooklyn.
Thank you very much.
Hi, David. So race is a social construct that doesn't have any foundation or basis in either genetic or biological differences in human beings. However, because at the inception of this country, the folks in power, and by that I just meant that they had the instruments to support their theory that the superior race was in fact the race that had the ammunition to support that this construct or this theory was white. And so white is just a race, and then supremacy says that that race is superior to any other race. So race is just a social construct that has been used to define who is superior and who is inferior. And so white supremacy just says, if I'm white, then I am superior to any other race.
Do you agree, David?
Well, here's the way I look at it. It's relatively simple. White supremacy is a system or invention, let's say, like Theodore Allen says in his books, of those who rule to control the economics in this country in particular. We'll stick with the United States. And it's just a wonderful system because it has captured the minds of the people. In other words, the looks of people according to their phenotype, the pink kind of people from Europe or the browner people from other parts of the world, and to play them against each other. It's very simple to understand this is an economic invention to control people, to play them against each other, which is very important, and have them work for the benefit of the people in this capitalist system and control their minds, the minds of the black people, as well as the minds of the so-called white people, for the benefit of the ruling group that runs the country, the ruling class. And that's the only reason that is here, because it's a very effective system, a system of controlling people with a taxonomy of the complexion of their skins, and using this to benefit self. And when I say self, I'm talking about the real people who run the economy of the country, the people who have most of the wealth of the country, and they're playing it wonderfully because they control the minds of people to go along with the system of playing so-called, quote-unquote, races against each other, according to phenotypes, and they're getting away with it. And, you know, it's wonderful that what they're doing in terms of benefiting themselves economically. This is about economics. And, you know, that is the key to this, of this whole concept of white supremacy. And when you're running a system of white supremacy...
I would agree with what David is saying. However, before you can even get to controlling the economics, I agree that this is a system of the goal is to control the economics. Before you can get there, you have to have buy-in from people of a specific phenotype that, in fact, they are the superior being and, as a result, are entitled. So white supremacy is a concept. It is a philosophy. It is a principle to which everyone from that phenotype must then buy in. And by buying in, you then put in place all of the things. You control their minds. You control the economics. But before you do that, people have to have a buy-in. And that's the concept that people must believe in.
Well, the point is this. For those who rule, the ruling class, the buy-in, as you put it, has to do with separating different types of privileges for certain people versus not allowing other people to have those same privileges. So in this society, the United States as I see it, these so-called white people who have that phenotype, they're given more privileges than the so-called black people with that phenotype. So, you know, this is playing the people. So when you talk about buying in, they are controlling the minds of those misguided white people. And, you know, they feel that the most of them, the working class ones and the non-ruling class ones, to getting them to identify with those who rule. So that's the problem we have now. You have little poor white people identifying with multimillionaires that run everything. So, you know, this is a problem, and it's a problem also with the minds of anyone who is in a system like this, where the masters of the system are just brilliant in their ability to control those minds. So as I see it, this is an economic system that benefits those who rule at the expense of everybody else by playing one group against another.
And you're correct, David, but the point that I'm trying to make is that first you must have the buy-in from everyone of that phenotype, the ruling class and the working class, because the working class supports the ruling class
to their own detriment. So you first have to have the buy-in even from the working class and the poor ones. And once you have that buy-in and based on the fact that even the poor or the working class person believes that their superiority is because of their phenotype, and then you have the separation based on economics and wealth.
Well, that's the brilliance of the ruling class and their ability to make that happen. And they are very good at that. And, you know, the last thing they want is for the two, in this case, the black phenotype versus the white phenotype, they don't want them to get together. So, you know, I mean, it's brilliant what they're doing. They're masters at this technique of divide and conquer for their own enrichment, and we see it every day in this country because they get richer and the rest of the people are getting poorer. So I agree with what you're saying there, but I'm saying that the ruling class has really worked out a good system that is working, I think, better than anywhere else I've seen in the world.
Well, thank you, Patricia, and thank you, David. A very scintillating exchange. I was fascinated by it. Let's go to E of Edgewater and Chris from Harlem. Are you both there?
Hi, Patrice. It's Edgewater. Thank you.
Yes. And Chris, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good day,
family. All right. So, Chris, let's ask you to ask E from Edgewater, what is this thing called white supremacy?
Okay, Chase, I'll start. And I'll keep it simple. This is Chris from Harlem. Are you with me?
Yes.
Hello?
Okay. I would actually say that in following along with David, it is a system of control. In order for capitalism, which is very much in direct opposition with natural law, in terms of there being enough all on this planet, the only way to have an accumulation of wealth and control is to create a culture which justifies that. And this thing called white supremacy is that very thing. It is a necessary aspect of capitalism and the spread of capitalism as it relates to those who have moved all throughout the world to take the natural resources of places, which then puts the people who are in control of that particular process in a state where they are surrounded by people who have a different.
That is an answer for tomorrow, perhaps, but for today,
okay.
I'd like you to ask, or in a challenging way, ask E from Edgewater, what is this thing? I need a definition, not necessarily right now how it works. I want to know, what do you understand it to be? So ask E from Edgewater about a definition.
You have me a bit stumped here, Yitru, in that my question really would be, who does it serve? Like, what does it, or Ed, my bad, from Edgewater?
Yes.
What does it serve? What purpose does it serve?
Purpose that it serves is, as David from Brooklyn so eloquently put it, that the ruling class gets to step all over us. And we, like stupid fools, fall for it. Now, white supremacy existed in Europe back in the 1300s, 1200s, but it was the ruling whites over the poor whites. And then when they had the ability to build big boats to go to Africa and force black people and brutalize them to get on the boats and transfer them to all these islands that these British, French, and Spaniards claimed as their property, and then brought them also to the United States, This was a white country of European people that came from Europe to the United States and wiped out the Native Americans and then replaced people so they could do the work. They brought slaves from Africa. And then they got white people to go along with this white supremacy because it's a natural thing. You say, hell, I don't want to be treated like these black people are being treated. I have white privilege, so I'm going to go with it. So, of course, it was a great trick put upon us. And Lyndon Baines Johnson made that quote that I wrote many times on how you can convince the lowest white man he's better than the best colored man. He won't notice you're picking his pocket. Hell, give him somebody to look down on, and he'll empty his pockets for you. And that's exactly what's done to this country, and it's a shame. So what
could
else can
ask,
I say?
Could you now ask Chris a question and see what he could tell us about his understanding of white supremacy?
Okay, question. Let's see. Do you agree with that, Chris? What I just said? Does it give it some kind of a definition? I mean, I tried to wrap things up real quick there. I went from Europe to Africa back to the United States.
You wrapped it up real fast. Okay.
I wrapped it up real quick. And now you want me to come up with a question. I don't want to be redundant. I think David from Brooklyn pretty much summed it up. It's the ruling class's invention, a trick upon the good people of the United States, of the world, to be tricked into believing this. It happened in Germany, too, where white against white. White
you mind,
Jews.
You mind if I follow up in this?
Go ahead, Chris. Take it over.
So, in a follow-up question, I would ask, are there repercussions from terminology such as white supremacy when we're talking about a particular system of control? And when we deal with words and meanings and their imprint on it, it's somewhat like the far right. Okay, they're far, but they're right. As opposed, and so when we speak about things like white supremacy, which I truly do not use necessarily as a phrase in phraseology, because it backs up the very notion that there is a supremacy. And so, and in that same point, we will refer to white supremacy, and then we will say those slaved Africans. And so in the very discussion, there's a hierarchy that in and of itself, through the usage of white supremacy and all other words that denote a hierarchy that goes down and up, that in and of itself becomes the true issue for me, because we're having a conversation which justifies the hierarchy just in the wording that we use as we begin to try to come to grips with the system. You with me?
Okay. E, are you understanding the question?
I can follow. Is he saying that I'm mixing up apples and oranges? I'm not at all.
No. I would never think that's absolutely not what I mean. What I am actually saying is just within the wordage, as a Native African American to this place called the United States of America, the history that I have through my actual family that actually still exists here is not of slaves. And I say, yes, my family and parts of my family were enslaved, but enslavement started before being brought here. We were actually in communication, travel, and trade, and cultural relevance with the world before Europe got anywhere involved. Right.
But you're off topic.
But it had.
So we have to move on because we're running out of time. It's very, very important to remain smack on topic. Believe me, you'll have a chance to express your views, because as we move, you'll see where you fit in. But I have to be a bit ruthless here and move on. because we will get way off topic and we would lose the value of the moment. But it's been an extraordinary interchange, and I thank you for it. We go next to Willie from Brooklyn and Gamba from Florida.
Are you Trish?
Yes.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Gamba, are you there?
My beloved family.
Greetings.
Well,
all right, so let me ask you. What is white supremacy? We're getting close. I'm glad that we're talking about it, but what is it?
Well, looking at the word white supremacy, right? White, it's an artificial construct. That's number one. Lie. Number two, supremacy, there's nothing supreme about the behavior. It's just wickedness. And best of all, and at best, it is inferiority. If you look at the words, so it's a trick they're using on and spread it all over the world for people to accept. There's nothing supreme about this behavior. We are the ones who accept it. No. There's nothing supreme about it. So it's a lie. It's wickedness and it's inferiority, in my judgment. Where you deny other people and kill other people for what they have, there's nothing supreme about that.
Gamba?
So we got it wrong.
I agree, and I will add to that. As the earlier participants alluded to, Francis Creswell Singh and Neely Fuller, whereby it's a system by which it affects or affects behavior in all aspects of human behavior, meaning art, entertainment, law, medicine, all aspects of our interaction with these systems that would give us a better life or give us a better meaning of life on Earth. So as it applies to me, I came here at the age of 15 from Trinidad, and I lived in Jamaica, Queens. I was bused many miles away. Why? Because the system that was in place and developed by those who control the system made sure that they would not become deaf to busing their children community, whereby
but
the children
let's get
have
back. Let's get
education.
To the. You're giving us an anecdotal account, and it's very clear where you're headed with it. But
go
let's
ahead, I'm sorry.
Look at the big
picture
first. Let's look at the big picture. What do you understand it to be? That's the point we try to get resolved.
A system of control, which is through all aspects of human behavior. System of control by one group, so they would maintain their domination over groups that don't look like them.
Willie, could you ask Gamba a question that would put us closer to understanding what white supremacy is?
We accept the notion that it's white supremacy. But let's just look at the word. White supremacy.
No. You have to ask a question.
Yeah. What is so supreme about this? That's like, isn't it the same thing as accepting the fact that Columbus discovered America, and that is thought all over the world? It's a lie.
What's supreme about it is as a collective, it affects us. As a collective, they could now dominate where I go to school, what water comes to my house, what electricity comes to my house, and so on and so forth, through its interconnection with politics and the like.
Hello? They simply could do these things simply because of one reason alone, is because we're unorganized. That's all. We refuse to organize. One of the fiercest creature in the
jungle. It encourages disorganization. That's what we're saying. It's a system by which creates disharmony amongst others. So through its medical, through its political, through its art, its entertainment, it affects disharmony. I'm in agreement with you.
Well, that's a good place to end the program today, when people are in agreement. So I want to thank you all. This has been a very, very scintillating program today. In fact, those of you who have been listening to me for the years, you recognize the format. I used to put a bunch of people on at the same time and just have them debate. And it was miraculous what we would get out of that, the instruction that we would get. And I firmly believe in peer-to-peer education. We can all learn something. So I want to thank you all for making the effort today. I did not warn anybody in advance, but this was all for the better, I think. We got some genuine education today, as we always do, from those calling in to contribute. So I sincerely thank you for allowing me to impose on you and having our audience share the benefits of your wisdom. So we return to this tomorrow. We have so many more people who want to talk. Bye-bye. See you tomorrow.